Hi, my name's Paul Baines. I'm Professor of Political Marketing at Cranfield University and co-author with Chris Phil, Sarah Rosengren and Paolo Antonetti of Fundamentals of Marketing by Oxford University Press. In Chapter 3, Marketing Research and Insight, we consider a number of important concepts related to specifically the terms market research, marketing research and customer insight, the difference between them. Describing the customer insight process and the role of marketing research within it. We explain the role of marketing research and list a range of possible research processes. We define the term big data and describe its role in marketing. We discuss the importance of ethics and the adoption of codes of conduct in marketing research, and we discuss the concept of equivalence in relation to obtaining comparable data. If we think first of all about the difference between market research and marketing research. Whereas market research is conducted to understand markets, customers, competitors, and industries, marketing research also determines the impact of marketing strategy and tactics. So, marketing research subsumes market research. In other words, market research is a component of the wider area of marketing research. Customer insight refers to the actionable knowledge of customers gained through research. So, it's about how you use the research that you've generated. But actually, customer insight can come from other things in addition to market research or marketing research. It could come from competitor intelligence, it could come from sales records, it could come from managerial insights. If we consider the customer insight process, then customer insight's value when it's difficult to imitate and potentially of use to formulate management decisions, and if organizations are to genuinely make use of insights, then CEOs should recognize the importance of supporting the insight process. Researchers should view themselves as problem solvers, not just reporters of market research data. And insight managers should challenge the strategy assumptions that the organization is making and challenge the obvious solution. The process of commissioning market research goes through a number of different processes, if you like. First of all, there's a definition of the problem. What's the problem that the organization faces? What's the research plan that you're then going to undertake? How do you go about undertaking the actual data collection? How do you undertake the analysis that's necessary, the data analysis and interpretation? And then you go on to write the report and deliver the presentation. That's broadly the market research process. Typically, we would define a management problem that might, for example, be that needs to be researched. That might, for example, be sales at the new store have not met management expectations, perhaps owing to the emergence of a new competitor. If that was your problem, that the sales have gone down essentially, then how would you go about developing your market research questions? The answer is that. Well, really, your question is why are sales levels not meeting management expectations? But you could break that down into a whole bunch of different sub-questions. Five possible ones, and there are probably more, but five possible ones might be: has the customer disposable income in the area declined over the last 6 months? Is a new competitor taking away customers? Are customers bored of the current range in the existing supermarket? Are customers conducting more of their shopping online, perhaps? Or were management expectations set too high, or the market potential overestimated? And so, usually in the commissioning process, the organisation would write a brief, and then the market research team within the company or the market research team within an agency would then structure a proposal around that management problem and the market research questions. And a typical market research proposal outline would incorporate an executive summary, a background to the research objectives, the research design, a specification of who will work on the job, the personnel specification, if you like, a time schedule, some costs, and some references for previous work that's actually been done. There are three main types of market research. First is exploratory research that's used when not much is known about a particular management problem. Descriptive research, and exploratory research is usually qualitative, but not always. Descriptive research, which focuses accurately on the variables being considered, such as market characteristics or spending patterns, And these are things like consumer profile studies, attitude surveys, or media research, and that's usually quantitative. And then you've got causal research, which seeks to determine whether one variable impacts on and influences another. To determine causality, we'd typically need experimental studies or certain types of longitudinal study. Experimental studies are characterized by the marketing researchers manipulating a specific variable to see how it influences another variable. An example of causal studies are studies of customer satisfaction or advertising effectiveness, for example. Moving on, we can compare qualitative and quantitative methods, the two different main types of research, if you like. Qualitative tends to be oriented towards discovery and exploration, whereas quantitative is oriented towards cause and effect. I say oriented towards, it doesn't mean it's always focused on cause and effect, because that's causal research specifically, which is one type of quantitative research. But the point is that it kind of orients towards that, whereas qualitative is around discovery and exploration. Qualitative often uses an emergent design, it merges data collection analysis, whereas quantitative has a predetermined design and separates data collection analysis. There's an emphasis on meaning and interpretation with qualitative, whereas quantitative, it's all about measurement. The researcher in qualitative is used as a research instrument, if you like, whereas in quantitative, the researcher is detached and uses standardized research instruments. Qualitative is more about analyzing a holistic system, whereas quantitative is about analyzing specific variables. Qualitative usually uses small samples, whereas quantitative uses large samples. And the sampling approach for qualitative tends to use purposively or non-randomly selected samples, and quantitative uses probability or random samples. So those are the main differences between the two types of research. I like to think of, once you begin designing market research, you really need to take into account a number of different factors. And I like to consider the key factors being the research objectives. So that's the first thing you really need to determine. What are your research objectives? What are you trying to do? The research type and methods that you use. So is the research qualitative, quantitative? Is it causal, descriptive, or exploratory, for example? Then you need to determine your interviewing methods. Is it in person? Is it face-to-face, for example? Is it by mail, that's snail mail, or through email? Is it on the web, or is it via telephone? Those are the main types of interviewing methods. We then need to consider sampling. Is it a random sample or a non-random sample? And there are various different types of sampling approach. We need to consider the question design when it's a qualitative method, or the questionnaire design when it's a quantitative method. And we need to consider our data analysis. Typically, data analysis with qualitative is via software programs that help you code the data. In other words, extract meaning and simplify the data. With quantitative analysis, it tends to be via statistical packages such as SPSS or AMOS if you are looking at a more advanced quantitative study, or via latent gold or a whole host of other different SAS, a whole host of different possibilities. Moving on, market research. One element of market research is to consider market and advertising testing. So I think that's quite an important area because it's a key element of what market research is about. So market research doesn't always look at consumers or at specific markets. Sometimes it looks at testing a particular market, shifting towards the more experimental approach, where you might advertise in a specific region of the country and see how that particular form of promotion, perhaps, that you're using works in that particular market. So one example would be with TV advertising, to launch TV advertising in a particular television region of the country, around your new product, say, for example, and you launch it in another region without any advertising at all, and then hopefully the two regions are fairly similar, and then you see how they compare, how the sales compare in the two regions. That will give you some idea of whether your whether your TV advertising is working or not. You could do a similar thing with online advertising. So that's market testing. There's also advertising testing, and I've rolled the two into each other there, but they can be separate, because you wouldn't necessarily always test a new market with advertising. You may be just testing your advertising after many years of advertising. You may change your campaign slightly and just see how it works. And typically you would design storyboards and cuts of adverts and test those before you actually go ahead and film the whole thing. The term big data refers to a more comprehensive set of data than traditionally used to provide marketing information. Big data refers to the volume, velocity, and variety of data used. So volume denotes the sheer amount of data used. So Walmart collected more than 2.5 petabytes of data every hour around 2012. It's probably a whole lot more now. Velocity refers to the fact that data is recorded in real time. And variety denotes that big data analytics combines data from, usually fuses it from, different sources. It's important to consider the ethics of marketing research. Researchers shall ensure that the participation in activities is based on voluntary informed consent. So informed consent is one of the key elements of market research. We shouldn't be questioning people unless they agree to be questioned. We also have to agree to be straightforward and honest. To ensure that our processes are transparent, that that we respect the confidentiality of information being collected from researchers, that we shall respect the rights and well-being of all individuals, whether they're researchers or respondents or participants. We'll balance the need of individuals, clients, and the professional activities, that we won't harm anyone through these professional activities, and that we'll exercise independent professional judgment in design, conduct, and reporting of our research activities. That will ensure that professional activities are conducted by persons with the appropriate training and qualifications, and that will protect the integrity of the profession. So all those are guidelines in the Market Research Society Code of Conduct, and are absolutely fundamental in conducting proper market research. Okay, so one key element is that when market research is conducted overseas, It's difficult, because the question is, how do you ensure its comparability? So if you were to interview, for example, someone who buys household goods, the groceries, in Saudi Arabia, how would that differ from somebody buying household goods in the UK? And the answer, of course, is that in Saudi Arabia, it might be a servant that buys such goods, whereas in the UK, it may be let's say it's a two-person household. It could be either of the two people. It could be the man, it could be the woman, if it's a traditional family, or it could be usually the person who is actually consuming the food. So that's the difference. In Saudi Arabia, it might be someone who's not necessarily consuming the food, who's preparing it, some sort of a maid or servant, whereas in the UK, it's much more likely to be the actual consumer, who's also the customer. Notice the difference between the two. Customer buys, consumer consumes. So we talk about different types of equivalence. We talk about conceptual equivalence, functional equivalence, and translational equivalence, because one of the key things of conducting marketing research overseas is, of course, you're operating in different languages. And so we'd need to translate questionnaires, translate interviews, and all the rest of it. And there are different ways of doing that, either through back translation, where a translator fluent in the language translates the questionnaire into the language to be used, and then another translator, whose native language is the original language, translates it back again, and you look at any differences. With a parallel translation, your questionnaire is translated using different translators fluent in languages into which the questionnaire is being translated, and then you agree a final version. So that's translation problems. Of course, when we talk about functional equivalence, it might be that the products that or propositions that we're researching may have very different functions in different countries. So a bicycle in India might be used for transport to and from work, or in France a bicycle might be used for shopping, or in Norway it might be used for mountain biking. So if you were researching the use of, if you were researching bicycling in different countries, how would you go about taking account of the fact that bicycles are used for very different things in different countries. And we've also got conceptual equivalence. So, for example, this occurs when interpretation of behaviour or objects is similar across countries, then conceptual equivalence exists. So conceptual equivalence should be considered when defining the research problem and wording the question and determining the sample unit. There'd be less need to investigate brand loyalty, for example, in a country where competition is restricted and product choice limited. So those are the key elements. There's also different forms of equivalence in terms of the actual conduct of the research. There's measurement equivalence. So when we ask people questions on, a 7-point scale, might they answer those questions in the same way in one country compared to another? And the answer typically is not necessarily. In some countries, there's less, there's a stronger sense of not disagreeing with people. So certainly the Far Eastern cultures, where people are less likely to disagree in public than in the West, Western Europe, for example. There's also sampling equivalence. So I mentioned this idea of different people having different roles in shopping in different parts of the world, but maybe a better example would be different classifications for films. So if you were for censorship for films, so if you were going to the cinema, for example, to watch a film in France, there's a good chance that you will be allowed to watch certain types of film at a lower age than you would in the UK. Or if you were researching alcohol usage, then clearly it would be different in the US, where the age of consent to drink is 21 compared to 18 in the UK. And there's data collection equivalence. When conducting research in different countries, it may be appropriate to adopt different data collection strategies because there's different ways of getting hold of and access to people. Email systems might are different in different countries in terms of their efficiency. Telephone systems, the extent to which telephones are used, whether that's fixed line telephones or mobile telephones, and of course the extent to which you can wander around door to door in different countries. Some countries are much more sparsely populated than others, and so a telephone might be more appropriate than a personal interview, for example. But a lot of research is now online, and certainly some countries conduct online research much more than others, given the nature of broadband penetration in those countries. So that's the sum of the chapter. Hopefully that will give you a good insight. Thanks very much.